G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
And the Psycho Cowboy Benny Factor.
Don't worry, just panic.
Hello, doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mac Grim Basso.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrapland Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome everyone to Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman, and I hope you all had a great weekend supporting Australian wrestling, as you should be doing. If you're listening to this show, get out there, support the boys and girls. I went to Vena Pro Wrestling on Saturday night, and it was a very decent show. Personally, match of the night, in my opinion, was Jackson Cross and Jax Jordan. Put on a very good opener, really got the crowd ready for the rest of the night. Also, big shout out to Adam Brooks, Jonah Rock, and Robbie Eagles, who by all reports tore up PWG on the weekend. Robbie Eagles in particular, apparently at the end of his match, had fans throwing cash in the ring. So, I mean, that's amazing. Well done, boys. Really representing Australia proud out there and the rest of the world. Also, before I forget, UPW, Fight for Life, raised over $600 for cancer research. So, congratulations to Abby Mack and the crew up there in UPW. Awesome work, fellas and girls. And, yeah, just really... really proud of what you guys could do and what you guys are doing up there. So, and hopefully I'll get up there sooner or later and really record some good episodes or some good interviews with a couple of you boys. Speaking of recording stuff for the podcast, I want to thank a couple of fans who came up to me at Venom Pro Wrestling and said that they enjoyed the show, enjoyed the podcast. I'm really, yeah, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like what I'm doing here is actually helping and actually trying to bring Aussie wrestling out to the forefront, which is what we're trying to do here in Wrestle Radio Australia. And in that vein, on this episode, we have a triple header of guests. First up being a man who, in my opinion, he really does have the potential to become one of the best in this country, and not too far off it, in my opinion. His name's Rufio. We talked about his time training at the New Japan Dojo over in America. Also, how he molds the young talent here in Queensland for AWA, and also what his ultimate goals are in professional wrestling. All that and more right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the question.
I'm here with Rufio. How are you, mate? You good?
Good. I'm really good. Yeah.
That's good.
Really, really good.
Really, really good. You came back from, was it California, wasn't it? For the...
Yes.
New Japan camp?
Yep, New Japan Dojo in LA, yep.
And today you did the...
the Fale Dojo Fale tryout, yeah.
Pretty much similar, was it, or...?
I think the LA one was a bit more intense, but the general gist of it, which is what they were looking for, like heart and fighting spirit, is still the same.
Still the same?
Yeah.
Have you... because I know that you're involved a lot with training the guys, the rookies at AWA now.
Yeah.
How much of that stuff from you've learnt from the New Japan camp and probably now from this, are you going to take into that training?
All of it.
All of it?
It's pretty much everything that I learnt from Shibata-san and the New Japan Dojo, I've tried to carry on and bring with me to everywhere. Everywhere I go, yeah.
Yeah, and how are the new crops coming, the crop of rookies?
Really good, really good. We'll have a good batch of guys, not ready for matches yet, but I think we have a good set of guys here that I feel that are trained properly, and I think they've got a lot of potential to better the Queensland scene.
Yeah, and that's been the problem in the past. They've put guys on shows way too early to learn on the job as such, and you can't really, I don't think you can do that for wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You really have to have everything down before you can...
Yeah. And not only that, I think if a wrestler comes in and they're not trained properly, you're giving the audience an unfinished product, and thus you're ripping off people too.
And
you know,
you're also putting the guy he's working with in danger.
Yes,
in a lot of respects.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's been the problem in past years up here, is that there have been a lot of guys that just like they've been training for 2 months and you know the basics. We'll put you in the ring.
Yeah, and
especially, I've seen it in some of the places where one guy, I won't mention his name because he's a good kid, he's a great worker, he's getting to be a great worker, that they put him in like death matches and like stip matches and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Way too early.
That's absurd, yeah.
I'll
I'll tell you because I can edit it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. With the whole...
That's fucking dumb.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we said to him. And I think he stopped... Well, that's why he stopped doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Stupid.
So if you can hear on any noises in the background, we're actually backstage here at Venom Pro Wrestling. So that's what you're hearing. Just in case. To paint a picture for the people at home. So are you getting out more now, going like interstate bookings?
I haven't been lately. That's something that I aspire to do really soon, actually. I'm hoping to get a couple interstate bookings soon, especially with the momentum from the LA dojo. But it's always a plan, man. Yeah. It's always working
everywhere.
And it's
really something you sort of have to cash in on while people still remember you've done it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the worst thing, because it's like 5 minutes later, everyone's forgotten that you went and did that.
That's just wrestling, though. Hey, you got to stay relevant.
Exactly.
All the time.
Yeah. You got to change your stuff.
Mm.
And are you thinking about doing that with your character?
Always. I always try to think of something fresh and something new, but it's really hard. At least I'm finding it really difficult.
Yeah. I've noticed because lately in AWA, you're sort of tending towards more the heel persona, and that's not something you've really worked that much, is it?
No, something completely new to me. It's fun.
How hard is that to go against your natural instincts of working as a face for so long?
For me?
To remember, hang on, I shouldn't be appealing to this crowd right now.
Oh, for me it's hard. It's super hard. Because it's just something I haven't done and I have very little experience in. So, I think it makes it fun, hey? Like,
yeah, I was going to say, do you like doing
absolutely,
that?
Yeah.
Because I know from my experience, because I was like a babyface announcer for the first year or a year and a half before I did the manager thing.
Yeah.
And I found it not really hard, but sort of shocking when they started hating me. I mean, I liked that they hated me.
Yeah.
But still, like, somewhere deep, something like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I get what you're saying. But I think as a wrestler, a lot of people like to think that nothing really changes. Maybe a couple little things.
Yeah.
But your wrestling stays the same.
Yeah, exactly. Your style shouldn't change. Just your mannerisms.
Exactly. But I can personally feel that I haven't really got a good grasp on that yet. So it's still a bit of a trial and error, I guess.
But that's good. Like, how long have you been working for?
My fifth year.
Your fifth year. Yeah. And to be 5 years in and still like being a whole, because like the heel side is a whole different matter to learn. So that's got to be really exciting for you to get into look, I can really sink my teeth into this.
Yeah.
It's just going to take some time. And that to know that you've got that and you're not like already sitting at 5 years going, well, I've pretty much done everything now.
You can't. I don't think you can ever say that though as a wrestler. Hey.
No. Like, but you know there are some people that are around like that.
Oh, yeah.
That are like,
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. There's a lot of people like that, yeah. Yep.
Oh dear. So at the moment is AWA is the home up here sort of?
Yeah.
And down, I guess Wrestle Rampage would be the closest thing.
My second home, you could say.
Yeah.
I'd like to think so.
You went down and trained for a while with AJ and
AJ Stria. I'd like to think Wrestle Rampage is my second home. But also like PWA, those guys have always been really, really good to me. And I almost feel like those guys are my family as well.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I guess AWA is my home, but I honestly, everyone has in Australia has honestly treated me so well.
You've been really lucky in that respect.
Yeah, I have. Hey, honestly, you're right. Like, I don't have any dramas or any issues with anybody. Everyone's always been really, really nice to me.
Yeah.
I honestly love the Aussie scene. Like, everyone's really, really cool. So.
Yeah. I was actually going to say, are you thinking about going and doing more, like, because you went for the dojo, you went to America.
Yeah.
So are you thinking about doing that, or are you thinking about going to, like,
yeah.
You thinking about going to, like, London, where a lot of people are going to England now to try and get in?
I always have thoughts about going elsewhere. I think the ultimate goal for anybody in Australia, I feel, is to leave Australia.
If you want to make an actual living doing professional wrestling, you can't do it here.
That's right. At the moment. And, like... You know what, like, when I went to LA, I was almost offended by some of the guys that were part of the dojo, because I felt like a lot of those guys weren't on my level of training here. I feel like it gave me a mad chip on my shoulder, and it made me proud to be part of the Aussie scene, because I know a lot more guys that are better than me that can do this, and I know that they could be a lot better if they just had the platform, you know, if they just had the exposure.
And that's the hard thing, isn't it? Is getting it out there.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's our biggest issue here in Australia right now. It's just the exposure. But we're getting there. But I feel like our level of wrestling is just as good as anywhere else on this planet.
Yeah, I know, especially up here. I've seen the standard rise over the last 2 years immeasurably from what it was when I first attended a show.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. But that LA trip just really opened my eyes that we have one of the best scenes in the world. Mm. Absolutely.
So is the end goal for you New Japan or WWE or just... not end goal, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think New Japan is the end goal for me. Honestly, I'd love to just wrestle as a job and be able to pay my bills and pay my rent from wrestling. Yeah, I'd be happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's in your future, mate, because you are one of the most talented guys that I've seen.
Thank you.
And I can already tell, like, starting your heel move, that you could be really good if let yourself. I know, I can tell, and I've told you this before, I can tell that you hold back.
Yeah.
Because you're not used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you let go, it's going to be a whole new world for you.
Hope so, man. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you for joining me, sir.
Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot to Rufio for taking the time out for that quick little interview. He wasn't even on the card that night. He was there for the Farley Dojo only. So, thanks a lot, mate, for taking the time out talking to us. Next up, we have Jax Jordan, a young guy who's been around for a little while, but primarily just in tag teams with VIP. So I thought I'd catch up with him now and just see where his head's at, where the difference is from tag team to working the singles. And really nice guy, as you'll get to hear in the interview. And wish him all the best. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jax Jordan here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
I'm here with Jax Jordan. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic.
Thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
First time? No, you've been up here before.
I've been here a couple of times. I wrestled for Venom before a few years back, tag, and then I had wrestled AWA in the tag team too. So
you're primarily now a singles competitor.
Well, I was primarily a tag team guy, and then I just went through some training, and my tag team partner sort of wanted to go the more acting route, and acting and wrestling have the same schedule, so. Yeah. It was one of those things where there was no hard feelings, nothing happened. It was just sort of like we went different paths, and now I'm here. So
how much of a change have you found it, like, psychology wise?
I worked primarily as a heel as the tag team, and I think the biggest issue there was I'm a smaller guy, so in a singles environment it's pretty hard to sort of be so small, and sort of when I was we were bad guys as tag team, it was sort of like we could
play the chicken shit role.
And sort of cow it out. But, as being a singles guy, well, it didn't really work. So I was like, and I really just really liked the face from the beginning. It just happened to be that we got a heel tag team, and we went with it. So, when the past turned, I turned face, and, now I'm here. I started training at PWA about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I was going to say you made the jump from...
Yeah, I started the training with AWF, and then I just sort of stopped training for a bit and started wrestling on shows. Obviously, that's not a desirable thing to do. I wouldn't recommend that for anyone. So I kind of got really complacent, got in a really bad place, and then I went to PWA and just stuck my schedule and said I'm going to be here 3 or 4 times a week.
They don't mess around either.
They don't mess around. It's you're all in or don't come. So not so much that.
It's fair enough.
It's definitely let's put everything into this.
Put in or get out. Really,
absolutely. So I just adapted to the lifestyle and just 3 or 4 times a week I'm there, I've been doing that every week for a year and a half, and it started to really pay off with just opportunities.
I was going
to
say, because now you've worked MCW,
absolutely. I worked MCW last weekend against Tony Phillips, so that was really fun. It's just like the crowd you get behind, and I just wanted to better myself, and I think I'm leaps and so much better than I was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, well, your match here tonight against Jackson was really good. I was really happy with.
Thank you.
I'm really impressed with. Not only that, because there was last time you were up here, you were a heel, and you were fairly over as a heel. By hated. And tonight you walked out there and you won the crowd over pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
Which is just a testament to the character work you've obviously done.
I think the biggest thing is I just love it so much. And I think it really resonates with wrestling fans. And they just like, I don't know, they just get it and it feels good. So
yeah.
I really like having fun. I'm all about fun and positivity. I'm a really positive guy.
Yeah.
You probably ask a little about me, they'll say I'm dumb, I'm wild, and I'm really positive. So that's some cool stuff that I like to.
So how did you, obviously you started training with AWF, how did you find AWF? Was it like you went to a supernova and you saw it there?
No, it was just, so I lived in a small town of Wagga Wagga, which is in the
I'm from
Wales.
Wingham.
Wingham, that's not too far.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was just like one of those things. I was a small town kid and, you know, I didn't have anything, I didn't have any aspirations, I was just like, this is whatever. And when I turned 16, I was 100 kilos, and I had to make a decision of what I wanted to do, really. You got to that point.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to be a wrestler. And then I moved to Sydney when I was 18 years old, lost 30 kilos, and...
That'll do it.
Just started wrestling. And then, obviously, the first thing that comes up when you Google Australian wrestling is AWF.
Yeah.
So I started going to shows, and then, yeah, I just trained there for a while. And then, yeah, it was just one of those things where a lot of people have done it, and it's just... You just got to progress. You got to keep going. You got to keep going up the ranks and... Move on with your life and then just going through stages. Yeah. So,
well, you're up here today doing the Fale Dojo tryout. Yeah, how'd you go? Or how'd you feel you went?
I think it was great. It was there was a lot of people from all different ranges of sort of skill level, and I've done one tryout now. I did a seminar with Okada.
Yeah.
So I sort of understood and sort of knew what I was getting myself into. So you know, we went through proper training. We've obviously been putting in a lot of work. PWA, and yeah, I think I was more ready for this one than I was the first one, and yeah, I think everybody here today actually killed it. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there was really any weak links.
Cool.
It was really
awesome. Do you see your future is, because the way I see it now, there's like three ways people can go. It used to just be one way where everyone just wanted to go to WWE and that was it, but now it's sort of like England, WWE, Japan. Which of the three would you prefer?
I know.
If you had the choice, you'd go anyone.
It's just like I'm 20 years old right now.
Yeah.
And like in the last year or two, my life has changed so much. My aspirations have changed. Everything has changed. Everything's happened. Everything's just come up. Like a year ago, if you had said to me I would be in Queensland doing a Fale Dojo tryout, possibly in New Japan, you know.
Yeah.
From that, I'd look in your face and say you're dumb. But like, it's really crazy that this is all happening now. And, you know, it's one of those things where you sort of work for your opportunity and wherever life takes me, I'm going to go. Obviously, everyone wants to go to WWE. That's the place to be. But I think we just got to keep working hard and putting the effort. And where I go. And I'm excited.
Well, nowadays, like, a lot of guys can go to an England and make
absolutely
a decent living now.
Yeah.
And it's also, if you go that way to WWE or that way to New Japan, because all of those places have... will seem to have good relationships with those federations.
And it's crazy, like, there's so many avenues you can go.
Are you alright?
Both went for a strike. What do we do? Oh no. Slap.
Jackson Cross, everyone. Say hi to everyone, Jackson. Say hi to everyone, Jackson.
Amazing.
I told you I'd get on your podcast.
I was actually going to ask if you wanted to do it. You don't have to now, because you've done it. later. We'll talk later.
Yeah.
Don't get bitchy.
I'm getting bitchy.
Amazing. I should have punched him harder.
You should have.
Well, I was saying, there's just so many avenues to go right now. Like Robbie Eagles, like one of the guys that trained me at PWA, is over in PWG today.
Well, literally, I just saw on Facebook, they threw money in the ring after his match.
Bro, they killed it. Honestly, Robbie Eagles would kill it with anybody. I heard they killed it, and it's just like, there's so many avenues you can go to. Like, nothing is impossible.
Well, compared to what it was like, 3 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even. It's just amazing how much Australian wrestling as a whole has grown.
Like, progress just came, and like, did progress was PWA in the Star Casino in front of, like, 1,200 people.
Mm.
And it's just like, that's crazy. These people are just...
I must admit, I have had, like, worries about all these, like, New Japan, Progress, blah, blah, like, WWE, all touring.
Absolutely.
Taking away from the local product.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't, like, look, judging by the crowd that are here tonight, it doesn't seem to have that much of an effect. I mean, the AWF tour is a separate issue because they had enough, like, just injury worry before anything else. But it doesn't seem to affect the numbers at all, really.
Absolutely not. I think the... all the people that came over here, like Progress and New Japan is one that they did a really good job in just showcasing the homegrown talent here and everyone that's here and actually like showcasing that. And who would have thought it'd be possible to, you know, draw 1,200 people at a casino? Like,
well, yeah, exactly. Crazy. That's amazing just, when you think about it.
It's just mental. And I got an opportunity to wrestle on that show, and it was just...
Oh, who do you work?
I was in a battle royal, so it was just a bunch of us. But like, still, man, like,
yeah,
bro, that opportunity was incredible.
Yeah.
And I've just found, like, ever since this all started, everything's just been getting so... I think... It's inspired all these places like PWA and Venom, even Venom tonight. It's just inspired everyone to go kill it. I feel like there's such a feeling in the locker room to just let's just kill it and let's really make our mark.
The worst part that there used to be, I think, was there used to be an attitude of near enough is good enough.
Absolutely.
Where it shouldn't be that. Oh. And it's not, like when I've ever worked somewhere, I don't accept that.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I was. Because I trained at Riot City.
Yep.
And that's the way we were raised. Like, that's not good enough. Like, you work until it's perfect. And if it's not perfect, you got to keep working.
Absolutely.
And that's what I think is starting to happen now. People aren't accepting mediocre.
Yeah. Oh. I just feel like everybody in this locker room is just stepping it up. And it's like, there's no laziness. Like, I'll admit, when the first few years of my wrestling, I was pretty... I had that same attitude of just like, yeah, it's enough. And I was okay with that. And it was, that's really bad and really quite terrifying. So then I think when I went to PWA and started training and sort of started hanging around those people.
Yeah, I can tell now the difference between... Because the last time you were up here, I think I was helping book.
Yep.
And I could tell like just the difference now. You seem a lot more focused than you were back then.
Oh, absolutely. I think I've gotten into a lot more fitness. I've gotten into... Like, I've just changed the way I thought about it and I'm not accepting mediocre anymore. Just, yeah.
Sweet. Now, if anyone wants to follow your career or get in contact with me, how can I do that?
Most socials? Places at Party Boy Jax. So Twitter, Instagram, all those kind of things. I think everything is Party Boy Jax now. If you just look up Jax Jordan, you should find me. So yeah, I'm around. I'm hoping to travel some more. I'm going to be in Adelaide in a few months. That'd be awesome. Do a week of training there.
Oh, sweet.
And just get around as much as I can. Hopefully everyone in Australia can see me soon.
Jax Jordan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Yeah, Jax Jordan, definitely a name that I think you'll probably hear more from in the future. A good young guy and, nice guy. Thanks for talking to me, mate. Last but definitely not least, here tonight on Tonight. Why do I keep saying that? Because it's a podcast. Anyone can listen to it any time. Jeez. On the show, last but not least, the main event, if you will, Lynx Lewis Jr., he's just come off a big run as the Venom Pro Wrestling Champion and also stepping into a different role in wrestling in that company, and we talk about that in the interview. And it's good to see the difference in talking to him now as to oppose before when he was just doing the wrestling and that was it. So interesting interview I think I had here with him. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Lynx Lewis Jr.
I'm here with Lynx Lewis Jr. Or Lynx. How are you, mate? I don't know why I do the whole name still. I still do.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening.
No, just Lynx, mate. Just Lynx.
Just Lynx?
Yeah.
Just Lynx.
For the time being, anyway.
Yeah. So you're back being a good guy?
Yes. Yes. First appearance back as a face tonight.
Yes.
Bit of a different entity. Yeah,
no old guys trying to attack you this time?
No old guy glassing is going on. It's good, so... Don't chat bullet, did not.
Oh, Jesus. So, did you flew up here from tonight,
yes,
did you?
Yes,
so
yes.
you're in Sydney now?
Yeah, mate, yeah. Had to make a real life decision to move down. Wasn't in a very good financial spot in my life, wasn't working. So,
go where the work is?
Yeah, well, can't
I'm up here.
Can't wrestle without money.
No.
So, need a good backing first. Once I get a good backing, then, it frees me up to do more stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's also plenty of training schools in Sydney you can hook up with.
Yeah, looking, I feel terrible about it, but I've been trying to make PWA because I work big days. It's, it's 10, 12-hour days. By the time we get home, I'm flogged. Can't do anything. So, but, I'm definitely looking to get down there. I've spoken to a few of the guys, a few of the trainers, and, they've told me to come. It's, pretty family-orientated sort of place, so they said, mate, any any outsiders would welcome to come in.
Yeah. I've also seen you've been working, was it IWA?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, IWA. I worked a couple of shows for them on their Summer Meltdown tour, which was Yamba and Sawtill.
Okay.
And previously, and then I was offered a booking at St. John's Park, and the show in Yamba actually tore my MCL.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I had to have 6 weeks off then, and I couldn't do the booking. It's just against Kai Drake. But they re-offered me the booking, thankfully, and gave me a chance to, you know, make my debut,
oh, cool.
Which was good. So I versed Adam Abbas, and we had a really good match. So,
cool. Yeah, awesome.
He's a really good worker. Yeah. So I was extremely happy to wrestle in front of family and friends that haven't seen me wrestle before.
Yeah, yeah. So going sort of a little bit back, how did you enjoy your heel run?
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
I told you, didn't I? I told you, it's so much fun.
I felt at first a bit weird doing it because I'm so used to being a good guy. But, you know, you got to expand and broaden your horizon.
Yep.
So, you know, I thought when you brought it to me was... I still remember the conversation. You were like, well, you know what? You'll turn on Toby, then Toby will bait you. And I was like, well, what if I win? I remember the stunned silence on the phone. You were like, we haven't really thought of that yet.
just want to job Toby like that. Hi, Toby.
I don't care.
Give him belts back left.
Yeah,
right,
but center. It wasn't like, that's the thing. And that's what was never really thought of because we never really knew how it would go.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't think it would be such a
hit. You know? Admit when we did it, it was sort of a trial thing.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to the other boys when I was booking there that give him a shot and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Because we won't know for sure until we give him a go.
Yeah.
And like one or two shows isn't enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough for a heel to.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, look at fuck me, look at the run, like Anderson, you know, fucking Bateman, Toby, yeah. Like, you know, just
Jake.
I've versed a lot of guys, which I was really fortunate. Never thought I had the opportunity to
Couldn't get you, Brooksy, but we tried.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're listening. but yeah, like the like
get the, around me, fella.
but you. Like the caliber of guys I versed was it sort of boosted me straight up to the upper echelon, which I didn't expect.
I like just quietly, how much did you shoot yourself when we said we were giving you Anderson?
Oh, I didn't believe it at first. Like, I knew Anderson was coming here, obviously. And when he showed up, I'm like, oh, okay, this is legit. And then when you said, like, the next month you're versing Anderson, I was like, oh, yeah, surely it'll change. Like, it's got to change. You know, didn't understand the concept of, hey, I'm the champion, so, yeah. I didn't really understand that, and you know, then when that time came about, it was like, oh shit, okay, well I gotta bring my A game. If I don't bring my A game, then I'm letting down the company.
Yeah.
You know, I know I don't. From an Australian standpoint, that really don't mean much.
Yeah.
But to us, it means everything.
But what so many people don't realize, and I think even wrestlers don't realize, that the championships aren't won; they're earned.
Yeah.
And like, you didn't win something, you didn't win anything. Like,
yeah,
people agreed to put you over.
And yeah,
agreed to do it because they believe, or at least the people in charge believe, that you can carry that company.
Yeah, 100%.
Or at least represent that company.
100%. Yeah.
And that's the thing, we believed you could have a decent match with Anderson. So
yeah,
that's why we did that.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the entire run was a lot more than what everyone thought it was going to be.
Mm.
You know, whether it was abusing fans or whatever it was, like, yeah. It honestly did take you
2 or 3 or 4 maybe months to really find your feet.
Yeah.
As a heel.
Yeah, 100%, because I wasn't used to it.
No,
I've been babyface my whole life.
Yeah,
you know, so it wasn't I wasn't used to talking down to people. I'm always used to when I'm performing to,
you get used to it though.
Yeah, get the crowd on your side.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really good at sympathy heat, not real good at I remember when I wrestled Davis, and after the match, I said, "Oh, how was it?" Yeah, I'm looking for feedback, obviously, and he said to me, "He goes, your heat's shit." just straight out. And I'm like, oh, okay, how do I fix that? And he's like, I don't know, but just change it. And I was like, oh, fuck, all right. Because that was one of his last matches before he went away. And I really took that on. I was like, if he's saying that, then I have to change.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I started molding it, washing different things. Mm. So
you also slowed down a bit more.
Yeah.
Which was smart, which is what I told you, to just slow down a bit more.
Because less is more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. So now you've got a bit more of a different challenge, sort of working backstage in my old role sort of thing.
Yeah.
How difficult have you found it? Like changing from that to...
I think it's been difficult in the sense of trying to not keep everyone happy, but try and make everything make sense, have a story, stick to a story, trying to get lads to sort of follow what they're being given.
Mm.
I know everyone obviously sees things differently.
Yeah.
But like.
So do you see my point of view on stuff?
Yes, I do. I do now. I see your frustrations with it. I think I've got a really bad temper, but I'm trying to hone that through the other person that's mm-hmm. booking as well, which is a good friend.
Yes.
And is also our mentor. He's telling me, you know, you need to calm down. You can't just blow up because people take it the wrong way. So I've taken that on board as well and gone, okay,
that's
well...
like the only time you ever saw me blow up is when there was reasons for me to blow up.
Yes, yeah. So it's like I don't look at things now as a personal attack. I look at it as a business thing.
Mm.
So
I'm like, and it's okay. Hard. It's really hard, isn't it?
Yes.
When I first started doing that part of the job, I found it hard because at first you didn't know who your actual friends were.
Yeah.
And who is just being nice to you because you think you'll put them over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sort of thing. And then when you've got to make those hard decisions, you've got to live with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's plenty of nights where I've sat up late and been on the phone and we're trying to write a card or we're trying to make a story make sense or something like that, and it's just not, it's just not there, you know? And you've got to find, you know, take a day off, clear your head, come back, reassess, and then you'll find a solution straight away. You know, so it's I'm trying to learn all facets of the business so that I'm a lot more valuable to places if I get booked other places, they bring me in, I can go, okay, well, I can see the match from backstage.
I was gonna say, do you see now when because you've done this role for a little while, when somebody from another promotion goes, we need to do this because this
understand.
Before you might have gone a little bit pissed off.
Yeah.
Are you just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I see things from a business and story perspective a lot more easier now than what I saw it from, why do you want me to lose?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be losing. Like, the chips sort of been knocked off my shoulder, which is good. It's a good thing. Yeah. So it makes me a lot more accessible to people and easier to talk to, so.
Yes.
Piss off, Todd.
If people want to get a hold of you to book you, and especially because now he's in Sydney, so he's a lot more accessible to Melbourne as well as Sydney. So
yes. Facebook page, Links Lewis Jr. on Facebook. Gmail is linkslewisjrbookings@gmail.com. Drop me a line wherever.
Whatever.
Yeah, whenever. Like, you know, I don't mind. I'm down for anything. Like, I just want to get my name out there, you know, as well as building the Queensland scene. You know, a lot of people talk about building the Queensland scene. Just going back to the run as a heel, I took it on as a personal goal to make my run the meaning, like give it the most meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think quietly I achieved that. You know, like you look in the space of the last 4 or 5 months of Venom. You know, February, Will Ospreay. Who would ever fought?
Yeah.
Like, who would ever fought that? You know, and it's something I said to the guys earlier.
Well, who'd have thought Kennedy?
Yeah, Anderson, well, first Ken, and then, you know, then Will Ospreay. It's like, oh, shit. Like, it's all moving so fast. And what I said to the guys earlier was, last month, I said, you wait till unrealistic walks in the door, and then you see how you handle it. you know.
Mm.
And prime example today, when the lads walked in, everyone's face dropped and everyone went, oh, fuck, they're actually here. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, it's not a bad thing. It's, okay, they're here. Let's act on it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what building the scene's about, man. So.
Yeah, I know. I've been fighting.
Trying.
I've been fighting for a while now.
Try doing it from interstate.
Yeah, wow. All right. Lynx Lewis, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good talk there from... good talk to Lynx, and I hope to catch up with him somewhere down the road and we'll have a bit more of an extended talk about that sort of stuff. But before we go, let's find out where the action is this weekend around the country. And in Victoria on Saturday, June the 2nd, Showdown Wrestling is at the Reggio Ballroom with Sid Parker versus JXT, Gino Gambino versus Slade Mercer, and many more. Tickets are at outtix.com.au or hit up their Facebook page for links on that one. In New South Wales on Friday, June the 1st, IWA presents Danger Zone with the 20-man Super Contenders Cup Rumble. Whew, that was a mouthful. It's at the Juniors at Kingsford, or Juniors Kingsford. Doors open at 7:30. Bell time is at 8 p.m. Hit up their Facebook page for ticket details on that one. Also on Friday, Vulcan Championship Wrestling is at the, well, here we go, Penacadian Club in Ashbury. More of a question than a destination. I'm going to say it's the Penacadian. Yeah, Penacadian Club in Ashbury. Tickets are available at VulcanProWrestling.com, and you guys can ask them how to pronounce that, I guess. Also, Suplex Pro Wrestling has their debut show called Here's a War, Saturday, June 2nd at the Hexham Bowling Club, with Jackson Spade, Giant Cody, and B-Boy listed to appear on that card, so get out there and support a new promotion starting up in Hexham, I guess. In South Australia on Friday night, PWSA has Friday night fights at the PWSA Arena. With the main event being of the Floor is Lava Tournament. So hit their Facebook page up for ticket details on that one and find out what that match is all about. And finally in WA, Sunday, June the 3rd, EPW is at the Aberdeen Hotel with the EPW champion, the Don Michael Morleone, defending his title, plus talent from NCW will be appearing. Tickets are at epwperth.com. And wherever you are in Australia, remember to get out there and support independent wrestling in this country. Well, that about does it for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us 5 stars, helps us get out there and inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word. Once again, big thanks to our guests, Rufio, Jax Jordan, and Lynx. Thanks a lot, guys, for taking time out, especially for Jax Jordan and Lynx, because... Well, Lynx was wearing so many hats that night, and Jax Jordan pretty much had just had his match. So, yeah, thanks to those boys for taking the time out to chat to me. Before we go, Todd's Terrible's wrestling song for the week or for the episode. And this one was requested by Heath Johnson. There we go, Heath Johnson. It is a remix on Tequila by Terry Funk, surprisingly. It's called Forever. Right here, where the action is. On Wrestle Radio Australia.